Miscellaneous Records of the Kulin Training 1, Chapter 15, God's Authority in the Church. In the past few days, we touched on the matter of authority. Today, we will hit home on this subject, God's authority in the Church. Two falls occurred in this universe, and both have great repercussions. First, there was the fall of the angels, and second, there was the fall of man. In both cases, God's authority was overthrown. Although both the angels and man fell, God did not withdraw his authority in the universe. God can withdraw his presence, but he will never withdraw his authority. He does not compromise his authority with anything. Where his authority is, there his presence is. When he withdraws his authority, he withdraws his presence as well. The fall of the angels did not cause him to turn away. He did not give up his creation as a result of the angels' fall, nor did man's fall turn him away. He did not give up the man whom he created. He is still in control of this world, and he is still upholding the system of authority through government, family, and other human relationships. Of course, none of the authorities within these relationships can be compared with the authority in the church. God asserts himself through asserting his authority. Where authority is, God's presence can be found. In fact, the best way to prove God's existence or presence is through the demonstration of his authority. The church being the place where God's authority is maintained. I would like the brothers and sisters to know one thing. Even though God has not withdrawn his authority, and even though his authority is still felt throughout the world and the universe, man daily trespasses against this authority. Every day we find lawlessness operating on earth. Every day man is under rebellion, plotting against God's authority. In addition, fallen angels, evil spirits, and Satan himself offend God's authority daily. Such a situation cannot go on forever. God's authority cannot be challenged forever. According to his desire, plan, and work, God will establish a kingdom on earth. Within the realm of this kingdom, his authority will rule. Every person within this realm will submit to his authority. No one will trespass it. This realm defines the kingdom of the heavens, that is, the kingdom of God, which is the church. God intends to bring order into the chaotic world and chaotic universe. Within the realm of the church, there should be submission everywhere. Everything should be under God's almighty rule and should be joined to the heavens. This is the church. This is the kingdom of the heavens. And it is here that God establishes his kingdom. How great the responsibility of the church is. In the midst of chaos and rebellion, God is upholding his authority. If the church joins in this rebellion, God will have no way to go on. In the past few days, we have seen Israel's rebellion. We have seen how the children of Israel rebelled against Moses and Aaron. By the time of Judges, the people of Israel were in a state of total collapse and confusion. Then God established the kingdom of Israel, asserting his authority through David. Even before David died, however, rebellion had already broken out. After Solomon passed away, the rebellion grew worse. From the time of Rehoboam's idolatry to the dividing of the northern and southern kingdoms, the people were in constant rebellion. This rebellion continued until the time of their captivity. His attempt to establish authority among the Israelites failed. 400 years later, starting with John the Baptist, the kingdom of the heavens was preached, and those who were violent took it by force. The prophecies of the prophets and the law ended with John. First, God sent Elijah, and then he sent his own son to be a model of obedience to his people. After this, God began to build up the church. The church should continue the line of obedience. It should be a vessel of obedience. Yet the church failed. It did not fully obey God's authority, nor fully submit to his direct will. God has yet to recover his authority on earth. In spite of this, God's will must go on. It must go on until it reaches perfection as recorded in Ephesians chapters 4 and 5. The Lord has to do great things in the church in the end times. Otherwise, a glorious church will not be ready for God. A man has to touch God's authority. He must not fight against any authority, and he must not have a spirit of rebellion. This is the way to serve God according to the divine principle. Unless one serves this way, his work, preaching, and service will be worthless because he will be operating according to Satan's principle. This matter is too crucial. Perhaps some among us will not be able to take this word. Today, I am only touching the subject briefly. What is the kingdom and what is the church? The church as the kingdom is a group of people who uphold God's authority on earth. God's authority is established in the church. The church is the first fruit. If the church rebels against God's authority, his authority will never be established. Let me give an illustration. When General Chiang Kai-shek had the thought of unifying China, he first established the Whampoa Military Academy. Through it, he trained an army and unified the country. What would have happened if the academy had turned against him before he was able to complete the unification? The unification plan would have collapsed. God's will begins with the church. Through the church, he establishes his authority. According to God's plan, his authority is established directly and indirectly through the church. One day, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and our Christ. If the church rebels and fails to be a testimony of obedience, God's plan will be totally frustrated. Learning obedience in everything. God must secure a group of people who are absolutely submissive to civil authorities. According to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, they should render tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due. In the family, there should also be order and authority. One should be a submissive wife, obedient child, or obedient servant. We should maintain our standing and submit to authority in every circumstance. This kind of behavior and attitude constitutes the best testimony. Nothing can be more beautiful in the world than seeing submission in every circumstance. Those who practice this are expressing God's glory and God's authority. We are not submitting to a person when we submit to authority. We are submitting to God. In order to take care of the sense of the Spirit within us, we submit to deputy authority. Those who know authority will submit to authority wherever they find it. A brother who listens to only one man is not useful because he is submitting only to man. He has not seen God's authority. Once a man touches God's authority, he can submit to any authority. We should submit to authority wherever we are. There is one brother in Fuzhou who only obeys a certain person. Another brother will not take any word from Brother Chen or Brother Zhen. In Shanghai, there is a sister who only responds to the words of Sister Wang and Sister Li. They are only obeying men. They are not submitting to authority. Submission to authority has nothing to do with persons. We have to touch authority in the kitchen. We have to touch authority in our office. Whenever we find responsible brothers in the church, we find authority. We find the system of authority everywhere. If a man thinks that he needs to only submit to one person, he has not seen authority. Submission is not directed toward one or two persons. It is directed toward all authorities. We must have a feeling for authority. This is not a matter of being polite and careful. We have to have a spirit of submission, a feeling for submission. A person who has touched God's authority once will know it as soon as he touches it. The sisters who are in charge of the kitchen have their authority. If we step into the kitchen, we have to obey them. This does not mean that we have to be polite to them and take care to not offend them like those in the world. What we need is a sense of authority. Such a sense comes spontaneously. It is like the feeling an arm has when it is twisted. The feeling of pain is there spontaneously. Those who know divine authority will identify it as soon as they touch it. If a brother says that everyone's word is wrong and that only brother witnesses or sister Wang's words are right, he is an outsider as far as spiritual matters are concerned. God is looking for a group of people on earth who will not offend or rebel against authority. If a man truly knows authority, his submission will be spontaneous. This is not a matter of politeness. A Christian does not need politeness. He needs a sense of submission. If such a sense is present in the church, the coordination between the brothers and sisters will be spontaneous. Without this, the church will be in confusion. We may say that we are submitting to 8 or 10 persons, but the result of this submission will still be confusion. We need to submit to all authorities. In the church, the absence of obedience brings in confusion. Confusion is equally brought in by an obedience to only one or a few persons. The whole issue rests on whether or not we have touched authority. What is God upholding on earth today? He is upholding authority. If a man destroys God's authority, any work, consecration, service, or zeal will be a form of rebellion. It will be nothing but an offense to his authority. Unless we can sense the evil of rebellion and insubordination, we are useless in the work of God. God upholds his authority. If we destroy this authority, we will have no way to go on. This matter needs to be fundamentally resolved before the Lord. Unless we settle this, we may not get into trouble when we are on the mountain, but we will certainly get into trouble when we leave. If a man errs in this matter, he may not get into trouble in one place, but he will get into trouble in another place. It is not enough for the brothers from Chifu to obey brother witness alone. They have to find authority wherever they go and submit to it. In order to be obedient wherever we are, we have to see that God alone is the authority and that all authorities are from God. Authority is a mysterious thing. No one knows what authority really is. It is hard to describe authority. This is something as mysterious as God, but once a man touches it, he feels that he has touched God, because God is spirit in himself, but God is authority in his manifestation. We are speaking about touching authority. We are not arguing about who should obey whom. Those who argue about such things are in depravity. May the Lord have mercy on them. A worker must ask if he is submitting to God's authority. One does not become a worker by being eloquent, persuasive, or capable. Some sisters find it hard to submit to brothers. Some wives find it hard to submit to their husbands. Some children find it hard to submit to their parents. Some servants find it hard to submit to their masters. It is hard for them because they have only touched men. Saul had to be enlightened by the light and fall by the wayside before he could exclaim, "What shall I do, Lord?" Once a man sees authority, all critical thoughts against police, government, husbands, parents, and brothers and sisters will go away. Once a man touches authority, all of his problems are solved. A servant of the Lord must touch authority and submit to authority. If he does not settle the issue of authority, he will have no way to go on. A submissive character. Everyone who knows God's authority has a distinctive habit. He looks for authority wherever he goes. The first thing he asks when he goes to a place is who the authority is. There is an urge within him to ask, "To whom should I listen?" He does not say this with just his mouth. He manifests a need for submission within his very being. Submission becomes his very character. It is a characteristic of God's children to obey. This is the way a person acts when he touches authority. Under every circumstance, wherever he is, he looks for authority, for men to be above him. Wherever he goes, he finds the order of divine authority. If a good number of people gather together in a place, and they see things this way, there will be order in that place. God has placed order and authority in the universe, in the world, and in the church. Whether or not someone is good in our eyes, and whether or not we approve of him, we have to thank the Lord for setting him up as an object for our submission. It is not a matter of who the person is, but a matter of the authority he has. If we cannot submit to him, We cannot excuse ourselves by saying that we are ignorant of authority. The only thing we can say about ourselves is that we are in rebellion. Those who know authority immediately know when a person is not in submission. When we say that we have to look for objects for submission, we do not mean that we have to look for an imperial officer to whom we should pay homage. We are saying that we have to submit to all deputy authorities. Wherever we go, and under every circumstance, we have to look for objects for submission. If a brother or a sister says that he or she cannot submit to a certain person, there is something basically wrong with the nature of his or her Christian character. When our Lord was young, he submitted to his parents. When he began his preaching at the age of 30, a collector of the temple tax came to Peter and asked if his master would pay the temple tax. Peter answered the man, "Yes." After he came into the house, the Lord took the initiative to ask Peter, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth receive custom or poll tax? From their sons or from strangers?" Peter answered, "From strangers." The Lord then said, "So then the sons are free." But in order not to stumble them, the Lord asked Peter to go to the sea and cast a hook. Peter then found a stater in the mouth of the fish to pay the tax. This incident speaks to us of authority. The Lord is the Son of God. Before he revealed himself, men did not know him. As far as his status as the Son of God is concerned, he did not have to pay the tax. In order not to stumble others, however, he paid it. Before he revealed his status as the Son of God, he subjected himself to earthly authorities. He was the Son, and it was wrong for him to pay the tax himself, because in so doing, it would imply a denial of his sonship. This is the reason he did not take the money from his pocket, but paid it through other means instead. He ordered the stater to be taken from the mouth of the fish, and he used it to pay the tax. He paid his share, and he also took care of Peter's share. When the Lord was judged by the high priest, he did not answer at first. But when the high priest charged him by the living God to answer, he responded. This is another example of the Lord submitting to authority. This is the Lord's nature. As God's sons, we also have God's nature, which is a nature of submission. There is something within us that wants to submit. This is the characteristic of the nature within us. In the past, we paid considerable attention to holiness, but not enough attention to authority. Today, we have to pay more attention to authority. We have to know that the nature God has given us is obedient and submissive. If we are not obedient and submissive, we feel inwardly unhappy. Something within us will not let us go. If we have objects for submission around us today but do not want to submit, I seriously question the kind of life we have received. Here I must first ask for your forgiveness. In the past, there have been many things which I was hesitant to speak about. I know that the time has come and that I have to speak strong words to you. If your heart is set on submission, these words will be sweet to you. You were born in uncleanness, but were saved and brought into the way of holiness. You appreciated the life that you received and felt inwardly relieved and refreshed. You will have the feeling again today if you are led by the Lord to choose obedience, to take obedience, to seek obedience, and to take care of the spirit of obedience. Actually, this feels so much better than merely advancing from uncleanness to holiness. What a joy this affords. You will thank and praise him loudly, say, "How sweet obedience is." So many of our brothers and sisters are not happy or at peace because they are not willing to obey. Others are entering joy and rest through obedience. I know, of course, that certain factors make obedience difficult. Those in such circumstances must shed many tears in order to take the way of obedience. If, however, they obey in tears, they will be rewarded with joy and sweetness. May the Lord open your eyes to see that the life you have received is a life of submission, a testimony of submission. Today, God requires that we take a strong stand under all circumstances, at all times, and in the midst of all kinds of environments. We should obey God, and we should obey those whom He has chosen. God needs a group of people who will submit to deputy authority. God desires to see men who will be sensitive to His authority as soon as it is manifested. Such ones are obedient and submissive, and they uphold God's authority. They look for authority everywhere they go, and they submit to this authority. They are neither rebellious nor defiant. Once God finds such men, He has a testimony. His urgent need today is to find expressions of authority as well as testimonies of submission. When God's authority and man's submission meet, we have a testimony that is after God's heart. What a glory it will be if we have 3 or 5 brothers and sisters who know authority and submission. Today we hear noise and words everywhere, and we find confusion, friction, and defiance everywhere. What a difference it would make if we had a group of brothers and sisters who realized God's authority and who submitted to this authority. This would bring men face to face with something real. If a place has a testimony of submission, it will find a greater and greater expression of God's authority. The degree of the manifestation of authority depends on the amount of submission. The more manifest the submission, the more expression of authority there is, and the greater the revelation of God there is. If we are this way, even a casual onlooker will know that the local church is different. They will say that God is here. This is the way of our testimony. When a family has a head and there is authority and submission in the family, others will find order in it. No matter where we go, we have to see authority. The whole world is in rebellion today. Rebellion lies in man's very nature. When a man acts according to his own nature, he rebels. Today, everyone likes to say that this is the age of democracy and that he is the master of himself. The flesh loves to be in defiance. It loves to go along with its own nature and rebel. Yet a man who has seen God's authority will smell rebellion as soon as it is around. God is high on the throne. He is the God above the heavens. His authority must be honored. How can we uplift ourselves and crave to be our own masters? How can we crave to be equal with God? We have to confess our sins before God, and we have to admit that we are lawless and rebellious men. Since we were saved, how often have we tried to rebel, to turn back, to refuse coordination, to act independently, and to be insubordinate and stubborn? We have to confess these sins. If the church cannot get through in the matter of authority, it cannot take up any work or service. I have to shout and repeat 1,000 times, even 10,000 times, that we need the testimony of submission in the church. Every time a preacher of the word preaches and every time a minister speaks for God, he has to be inwardly sensitive. If you are speaking about submission and some in the audience are opposing, rebelling, or setting themselves up against you, you will not be able to say any strong words. Your spirit will shrink back. You will not be able to speak with ease and freedom. I have spoken on wives submitting to husbands, servants submitting to masters, and children submitting to parents many times. I do not remember once when I did not encounter any resistance. If a man has not touched God's authority, something in him will be hard as soon as you touch him. The testimony of Jesus has nothing to do with doctrines or teachings. God must have a group of people who are not only holy, righteous, and loving, but who are able to give others the impression that they have a spirit of submission, that is, that they submit to authority. Our testimony is not a lucid exposition of the truth. Genuine testimony is the operation of the spirit of submission among us. If this situation is found among us, God's authority will reign in the church, and God will have a free way to go on. What a beautiful picture it will be when all the brothers and sisters seek submission wherever they go, when the whole church has its head covered, and when no one has any personal opinion, loose tongue, or presumptuous thought, and when obedience is manifested on all sides. This should be our testimony. If we build up everything except this one thing, our service will be useless. In today's world and in the church, there are many language interpreters. They interpret and communicate. An interpreter translates words that you do not understand into words that you do understand. If the matter of authority is not effectively communicated to you today, your stay on the mountain will be nothing but a torture to your very life. From now on, you have to look for authority wherever you go. To look for authority means that you do not try to be the master, head, or lord of your house. If such a submission is manifested in the church today, what an unprecedented highway it will give to the Lord. When others see this, they will bow down and worship the Lord. We can find brotherly love in many places, but we hardly can find submission. It is the most beautiful thing to find brotherly love among the saints on the one hand, and mutual submission on the other hand. Submission without brotherly love is Catholicism. Brotherly love without submission is Brethrenism. And if both brotherly love and submission are absent, we have Protestantism. In Christianity, we have three different kinds of conditions characterized by Catholicism, Brethrenism, and Protestantism. We should not belong to any one of them. We should not practice submission at the expense of brotherly love, nor should we practice brotherly love at the expense of submission. May the Lord have mercy on us, so that our brotherly love will increase while our submission will not be lacking. We have to take a firm stand and submit to authority. This should be our testimony. It is something that is rare to find today. Today, a testimony of submission cannot be found anywhere in the world or in the universe. This is the reason God has ordained authority in the church. He expects to find His authority expressed through the church. For years, we have experienced great confusion, rebellion, and insubordination. We have to confess our sins to the Lord. May the Lord be merciful to us. May we see the system of authority He has ordained in the church, and may we become a testimony of submission to authority.